Good morning. My name is Uli MacDonald, and I am Vice President of your Church Council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. The annual congregation picnic and rally day will be held today, and that's following this service. So join us for good food, games, and entertainment. Hot dogs and beverages will be served. It's that time of year again to send care packages to all of our college students. We will be packing them up on September 8, doing God's Work, Our Hands Sunday. So if you have a college student you would like to include in this project, please call the church office with the name and address of the student by August 30th. Sue's Supper will be hosting a free dinner this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. We will hold a brief evening worship following supper. The entire church family is invited to this event for food and fellowship. Our annual backpack blessing will be held next Sunday at the 10:30 service. Please see the bulletin for additional announcements. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Together. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as frail creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Bible school this week to come forward.
About the theme and the crafts and the projects. for your pastors that we are willing to portray.
Everything we do all week long is designed to help our children learn that love and kindness will always overcome evil and hatred. So every day they do service projects for someone else. During the week they made personal care kits that you see over there in tennis tubes. They made 75 of those that go to Compass House. They also put together tote bags with pajamas and books and cups of soup that will also go to Compass House. Compass House services teenagers anywhere from 12 to 24 in transitional housing, runaways, any number of things. And so we put together kits for them. They also put together pajamas and book kits, as well as boxes of books that will go to Family Promise. They put together more than 50 pet bags that go to Pete's Pet Pantry. It works just like the food pantry, but it's housed at Good Shepherd Episcopal Church. And when someone comes to the food pantry, they can also get a bag with pet treats and pet food, because if you can't feed yourself, you certainly have trouble feeding your pets. They made pencil cases for area schools. They will go to the counseling departments in those schools. They all have uplifting messages so that kids that are feeling down will know that somewhere someone cares about them and is thinking about them. And because they wanted all of you to know that they were thinking and caring and praying for you during the week too, they left uplifting rocks outside, inside, all over the church, so that somewhere, whenever you need a message or sometimes when you least expect it, you might run into one of these. And if you need to take it or pass it on, you're more than welcome to do that too. So thank you very much for everything that everyone did to make this possible.
I'm not peace by the river. The first reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in Isaiah, the 58th chapter. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The second reading for today is recorded in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words make the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, we give you thanks, Lord God, that you would wake us this morning, stir our hearts, gather us from our homes into your house again, for the outpouring of your grace upon us, for your calling of us to be your beloved. You make of us your children, the very body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then you so feed us and nourish us in word and in this holy supper that we might have love in abundance to pour out from this place through us and into a whole world in need. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. These are revolutionary times. All over the globe, people are revolting against old systems of exploitation and oppression, and out of the wombs of a frail world, new systems of justice and equality are being born. We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is a thing as being too late. Procrastination is still the thief of time. We must move past indecision to action. We must find new ways to speak for peace and justice. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., April 1967, with words that sound like they could be uttered today. Siblings in Christ, the story that we received this morning in Luke's 13th chapter is not merely a healing story on the Sabbath, but is a story about justice today. A story about God's intention for all of God's people. A story about urgency. Of seeing a long overdue wrong and making it right without any further delay. The key to the story centers around this argument between Jesus and this leader of the synagogue. The leader presumably does not have an issue with healing in and of itself. We can hope, assume, that the leader wants the best for the leader's people, that they would want the best for this woman. The issue isn't that she's being healed. The issue that why does Jesus have to restore her life now, today, on the Sabbath? I mean, it doesn't seem like her illness is life-threatening. She's obviously learned to deal with it for nearly 2 decades. This is chronic pain. It's not like she's been in an accident and something's really wrong. This could wait. If she could wait this long, bent over, eyes cast in the dust, never to be able to look up at the sun or to the one whom she is speaking with, well, if she's waited this long, well, what's another day? Why push things? Why not wait just a little longer? Wait till the Sabbath ends. Wait till Monday, for goodness sakes. Surely, she could wait a little longer. Matt Skinner, professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary, writes that Jesus' response to the synagogue leader is as scathing as it is succinct. that the Sabbath is no excuse for willfully extending suffering and delaying someone's wholeness. Rather, the purpose of the Sabbath actually expresses the reason why Jesus should restore the woman's life now, today. The Sabbath is all about freedom and justice. Deuteronomy 5 reads, "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or any of the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember, you were once a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day as a day of freedom, as a day of justice." Skinner writes that the original intention of the Sabbath, according to Deuteronomy, is to provide relief, even if that is only temporary, from a system that would deny a person a share of rest or peace, wholeness, dignity, and justice. The synagogue official says, "Just wait one more day." Jesus answers, "No way." 400 years ago this week, the first Africans stolen from their homes in Angola were brought ashore in the Virginia colony, and through the slave traders, though they had intended on bringing their human cargo to South America, they sold some 20 persons there in Virginia, opening up what would become the driving engine for slavery and the building of America. Now, in the United States, we commemorate everything, all parts of our history, the good and the bad. In Buffalo, we particularly commemorate the French and Indian War, the War of 1812, the Revolutionary and Civil Wars, and as well we should remember. We commemorate sad and tragic days. We say that we will never forget 9/11, that we remember Pearl Harbor, and I even grew up, someone said, "Remember the Alamo." I had no context for that whatsoever. But we speak far too seldom about the scourge of slavery and the fibers that it has left in the weaving and the fabric of our nation. In the 400 years since that first ship landed in August 1619, people of African descent in America have faced Jim Crow laws, which meant, among other things, that African Americans did not build wealth through land occupation and acquisition the way that other immigrants from Europe had received. Redlining that devalued neighborhoods and in neighborhoods and communities like on our east side of our city of Buffalo. Mass incarceration where a disproportionate number of African Americans, particularly men, have been arrested and prosecuted, where others of Anglo descent have been left off with just a warning and a word. The impact of slavery and its successors have had a lasting impact, and our siblings have been crying out for us to hear and see, learn and respond. Too often throughout our American history, the response has been, "Wait one more day. Equality is coming. Equity is on its way. Just be patient. It takes some time. You can't expect it overnight." But Jesus saw the woman bent over. And when God sees God's people suffering, when God hears the cries of God's people, God sees us and lifts us up so that we might not gaze into the dust, but in the Son who has come to save us. God responds, God moves today, in the here and now. And we, the church, this is our gift. This is who we are called to be together. We are the body of Christ for the sake of the world, the ones who proclaim life after death. We are those who have confessed that God has lifted us up out of the dirt, formed us to be the church, has heard our cries, and has forgiven us from a table of mercy. And we are not to wait another day to share this same amazing grace. I am so glad for our vacation Bible school. I'm so grateful for Susan and the volunteers and the teachers and the countless numbers of folks who it takes to make it work. So many of you who are not necessarily seen during the days, but you too have been a part of it. But I'm especially grateful that what our students learn and hear at Vacation Bible School is that we are not teaching them to be the future of the church, but we are sharing with them that they are the church today. That you have the power to bring love into our world. That you have the power to bring wholeness to us. That you have the power to make an impact on the world. Preparing these comfort kits for those who turn to Compass House for shelter. Creating the emergency care bags even for pets. Knowing that they too live with some food scarcity when their families are living with food scarcity. Preparing school kits for fellow students, so because every student deserves to have the basics so that they can learn. And we're doing it now. This is the church today. Dr. King concludes, "So let us begin. Now let us rededicate ourselves to the long and bitter but beautiful struggle for a brand new world. For this is the calling of the children of God, and our siblings wait eagerly for our response. Amen."
Yes.
all to gather together, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 10 of your worship bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into heaven. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Lord of mercy, we cry to you for help. Trusting in your compassion for your whole creation, raise up the baptized to offer Christ's healing and forgiveness to all in distress. Strengthen all communities of faith, including the Buffalo City Cluster, for Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We rejoice in your creation, water that nourishes lands and creatures, gardens and fields with a diversity of plants. Bless scientists and artists who show us new ways of understanding the complex beauty around us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We seek the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Come to the rescue of those who are displaced by war, famine, or other disasters. Bless diplomats, peacekeepers, rescue workers, and all who are given aid through their efforts, so that peace and plenty prevail. And we pray for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You provide deliverance and justice for all who are oppressed. Free those in bondage to substances, gambling, or other forms of addiction. Release victims of human trafficking and bring them to safety. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You know our needs in this community. Heal the hurts of all bent over with sickness, aging, or suffering. Accompany those who visit homebound members, the hospitalized, and those who are in prison. And we pray for all those we now name out loud and those we remember in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bless all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today for all the children who attended Vacation Bible School. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You raise up witnesses in every generation. As we remember those who have passed into your peace before us, comfort us in the sure hope of your Son's resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
All these things and more we ask in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
Peace be with you. Nice to have you right up front. No pressure.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup, and we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith. Encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, in the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with all our heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth from this assembly to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick, homebound, and imprisoned. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those to whom we bring this sacrament, that through the body and blood of your Son, we all may know the comfort of your abiding presence.
Amen.
Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving, and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.